Hello and welcome to Sleeping Giants, the East Anglian Daily Times and Ipswich Stars sports podcast. 3-1-all draws in a row wouldn't normally be a cause for excitement among Ipswich fans, but when the last one comes against Norwich at Carrow Road, it can't be all bad. The Blues acquitted themselves well in front of the TV cameras as they took the lead against the Canaries, but later conceded to take a share of the spoils back here to Suffolk. However, it's more evidence that the team has been rejuvenated recently and has come through a tough month of fixtures with their heads held high. Stuart Watson, our Ipswich Town writer, is here with me to discuss the latest East Anglian derby. Was it as good a performance as we've seen from the club in recent weeks, Stuart?
I wouldn't put it on a par with some of the previous performances of the month. I think they've played better than that, but that said, they dug in. It was more of a dogged Mick McCarthy type performance. No doubting that Norwich posed a bigger threat and Bartosz Białkowski had to come to the rescue on more than one occasion, but all things considered, a decent point and to end a decent month of February.
And we've seemed to have acquired a new derby hero in Jonas Knudsen. He loves scoring against Norwich, it seems. That's both of Ipswich's goals against the old enemy this season.
Yeah, and he loves it as well. I mean, you couldn't pick knowing Jonas through press conferences and whatnot, you couldn't pick someone more suited to that because he's the closest thing they've got to someone with a fan's mentality, I would say. Jonas, he's come from Denmark, he still seems to sort of be, I think he gets wrapped up in all of the fans' culture and, the passion involved, and we saw that the way he jumped in with the fans afterwards. So, fitting that he's been the man to get the two goals, I think, in those derby games.
And it was a good goal as well. I mean, it was a good cross in from the wing, and Knudsen, that sort of header probably wouldn't have looked out of place if it had come from someone like David McGoldrick or Daryl Murphy.
Yeah, and I think the build-up as well, I can't remember, someone said there was 17-plus passes, I think, in the build-up, might have even been more than that. So, measured build-up, fine cross from Jordan Spence, and Jonas has sort of started in the left side of the centre-backs, got moved to left wing-back and took the goal very well. So, it was more evidence that Ipswich are playing a little bit more football now, which has been the main thing that we'd wanted to see heading into the month of February. They're getting it down and certainly a bit easier on the eye at the moment.
With the sort of slight change in formation you mentioned there, obviously Mick McCarthy started that match with the wing-back system that served Ipswich well quite recently, but it seemed to be that he felt he needed to make a change in the second half and went to what appeared to be more of a traditional sort of 4-4-2. Do you think that really worked for Town? I mean, obviously they got a result out of it, but could you see that sort of change coming as the match wore on?
I thought he pretty much stayed like for like with the wing backs. I think it was, we were asking him today about his decision to take off Kenlock as opposed to Spence or anyone else at that stage in the game. I think he's talking about managing both Miles Kenlock and Josh Emmanuel going forwards. Picking their moments, especially with the Saturday Tuesday schedule. We've seen that with Emmanuel sort of coming in and out. We might see that with Miles Kenlock as well. It was just a case of moving Knudsen into the left wing-back role and sort of just swapping it around a little bit in that respect. So I think the wing-back system's certainly here to stay because it's working well for them at the moment.
You mentioned Bartosz Białkowski. He got a Man of the Match award. I think he was probably one of the best players for Town out there, and certainly a poll that we've run online since the match suggests that most fans would agree with that. Was he unlucky for the goal, or should he actually have done a bit better, all other things considered?
Yeah, we're probably being ultra critical, but I think if any goalkeeper gets beaten down low at their near post like that, there's a few question marks, and that's a shame because, you know, he'd made a number of outstanding saves that we've come to expect from him really over the last 12 to 18 months. The one from Alex Tetti, which was sort of bludgeoned down the middle of the goal, was particularly eye-catching, and also the one that kept out the potential own goal from Jonas Knudsen. But going back to the goal, Murphy had said that he'd done his research on Bart and felt that there was a weakness there in terms of, you know, that's why he had took a shot at the near post. So maybe that's something Bart, I know he's pretty ultra critical of himself, even when he's been at the very top of his game, he's always sort of nitpicking areas that he can improve on, and that potentially might be one of them.
What happens next now for Ipswich? We were quite pessimistic, in all fairness, coming into February with the run of fixtures and the previous form that town had been showing sort of over the Christmas period and into 2017. They've now gone through February unbeaten with improved performances, a lot more positivity. You might think that March, compared to that, is a little bit easier. Are we going to see Ipswich Town implode as they have done previously, or are they going to be able to keep up the improvements that we've seen recently?
Yeah, it's a discussion we've just been having with Mick McCarthy at the Lunchpine press conference today, Wednesday. I sort of put it to him that perhaps his initials, you know, he once said that his initials didn't stand for Mick the Magician, but perhaps they stand for Mystic Mick, because going into February, he suggested that, you know, while everyone else was pretty doom and gloom, he predicted that his team would rise to the occasion against the bigger teams, and you know, they would probably end up picking more points up against the supposedly tougher matches. Of course, that's how it's transpired, and now we find ourselves going into back-to-back home games against Brentford and Wolves. And of course, the way the world goes in football, expectations rise, and everyone's now expecting them to go into those games and do well. Kevin Beattie, the legendary Kevin Beattie, has just said to me this week he's expecting 6 points from those two games. So things turn very quickly, and Ipswich have still got a lot to prove between now and the end of the season. Many people had grown pretty disillusioned with things, as we discussed time and time again in this podcast. And although, you know, there's been plenty of positivity and green shoots of recovery in the last few weeks, I think it's going to take that sustained between now and the end of the season to really win people over. A, to prove to them that Mick's still the man. B, to get them to part with their hard-earned cash for season ticket renewals next season. So the picture is looking a lot brighter, but listen, it doesn't wipe out 12 to 18 months of, you know, fairly sort of turgid football before that, but we're moving in the right direction again.
You mentioned the two home games. If you said it's Brentford up first on Saturday and then Wolves in midweek, what are Town's chances, do you think, for those two games? Are they going to be able to take the high from Norwich and really go and sort of show those two teams a hard game? What's the sort of the form like for them? Are they going to be able to come to Portman Road and cause an upset?
Well, we hope that they can continue it, and I think first and foremost that the thing that's pleased me most is that Mick's now worrying about his own team and setting them up to go and win and stamp their authority on the game. And one of my biggest criticisms of Mick in the past has been that he's too worried about stopping the opposition, matching up the opposition's formation, bigging up the players in the opposition team regardless of where they are in the table. I'm not getting that sense now. He seems to be, you know, fairly set on his wing-back formation and focusing on what's working for him as a team. So if they do that and produce the performances, certainly the last few home performances against Reading and Leeds, I thought they deserved more from those two games. And if they replicate those two performances, then I think they've got a very good chance of getting a points haul. When you look at the opposition that they've got, Brentford are a bit of a unknown quantity. They've kind of stuck to their way of playing. They're quite a slick get it down and pass, you know, they've stuck to their way of playing despite losing several of their best players over the years, you know, Scott Hogan being the latest. I think on their day, and as some of their results have shown, they can beat anyone, and Ipswich probably produced their worst performance of the season at Griffin Park right back in August September time. So That's a tough game, and of course Wolves are still down there and battling, and as we know, those sort of games can be harder. I think Ipswich have actually found it tough when perhaps there's been an expectation and they go into games as with the favourites tag at home. That's probably when they've struggled the most to try and break down teams that are looking to kind of stop them. So this is another big test. They've come through some big tests in February, but you know, for different reasons, these next two games are equally as challenging.
Now, one thing that we thought Town were going to miss hugely in the Norwich game and in the game before that as well was Tom Lawrence, who's obviously been Town's standout player of the season so far. Ipswich didn't do as bad as some people perhaps thought without him in the side, but what's the future for him now? Is he going to come straight back into the team, or is he going to have a bit of a battle on his hands to try and dislodge some of the players that have filled in his stead?
Yep, you're right. First and foremost, he hasn't been as big a miss as people perhaps feared or expected. For a while, he was virtually carrying the team on his shoulders, certainly with his goals and his all-round performances. And that's a really encouraging sign that they've managed to, against both Leeds and Norwich, you know, cope without him pretty well. And it was such a shame that he wasn't available on Sunday, because I thought Norwich were a shadow of the team they were going back 18 months to the playoffs. Carroll Road didn't quite have the same intimidating factor as it did then, and I think Tom Lawrence would have added a real fear factor to Ipswich's play, and I think he could have made a real difference. So yes, they've coped without him pretty well, but you know, Freddie Sears did very well against Leeds. He was a bit quieter against Norwich, and I just don't see any way that Tom Lawrence can't walk straight back into the team, because he's been you know, such a star player for them. So I'm looking forward to seeing him and McGoldrick renew that strike partnership, because if those two, you know, are really firing and building up a relationship, that's a pretty fearsome strike partnership.
A little bit further back up the field, obviously, Tumani Diagaraga couldn't play against his parent club Leeds. We wondered whether he might come straight back in to the side at the expense of Cole Skews. That wasn't the case. Skews started against Norwich, and Diagaraga came on later. Do you see that as being the same sort of relationship going forward, that Diagaraga's perhaps used more as a sub, or perhaps in place of someone like Emir Hughes if they're not available to start a match?
I think there'll probably be an element of rotation now, certainly with the games coming thick and fast. If you're looking at Saturday, Tuesday, the main thing is that Mick's got options now, and you know, right wing back, it seems to be a toss up between Jordan Spence and Josh Emmanuel. You know, he's got options. If he wants to give Miles Kenlock a rest, he can stick Knudsen a bit further forward, and he's got the fit again Tommy Smith that could slot in at the back. And he's got those four into three situation in midfield with Ward, Hughes, Skews and Diagaraga. So I think he'll kind of just rotate them as and when for certain matches and certain situations. Diagaraga, of course, served Brentford, a loyal servant to Brentford over the years. You know, it might be a game that he's particularly looking forward to being involved in. I think probably the fact that he was ill and missed a fair chunk of training last weekend might have just tipped the balance in terms of Mick's decision for that game. So I don't think there's anyone now that can be seen as an absolute nailed-on starter. Or there's not, certainly not as many as there was. You could always kind of pick at least five or six players when, you know, Ipswich that were really sort of penciled in, inked in on that team sheet under Mick, and you know, someone like Skews was one of those, and perhaps that's not so much the case now, which is healthy. And I think that little bit of insecurity is making people work that little bit harder at the moment.
And the other boost that we've had recently, of course, again up front, is David McGoldrick coming back and looking fit and firing. Do we think he's got over the worst of his injury problems? Are we going to be able to see him get a sustained run in the side at least till the end of the season, and then hopefully, depending on how things go over the summer, being a key man for Town in 2017-18?
Well, let's all keep our fingers crossed. I put that to him in a chat last week, and there was a bit of a wry smile and a pause, and I said, look, I don't want to tempt fate here, because we've had this conversation several times over with David over the years. I think we've all kind of forgotten just how good a player he was and just how crucial he was to Ipswich Town. I mean, you go back to that form that led to £8 million plus bid from Leicester City the year they went up. He was a real sort of talismanic figure, and in the last 2 years the injuries have held him back, and even when he has been back out on the pitch, I don't think he's looked 100%. I think he's always been carrying a little niggle or a little knock, and he's looked frustrated, and I think he's tried to force things a little bit too much and taken shots from positions he shouldn't be in. But you know, I'm touching wood here and whispering it quietly, this latest comeback looks like the real deal, and he has really impressed me in the last few games. And in his pomp, he's an absolute joy to watch. The ball sticks to his feet, he drops deep, he knits play, and he just makes them so much easier on the eye and more enjoyable to watch, which is, bottom line, what we've been crying out for a long time. So, great to have him back, and let's just hope that he sustains it, because on his day, he's as good as there is in this division.
You've already mentioned that Kevin Beattie has said he hopes for 6 points out of the next two games. What's your prediction?
Well, the Beat's the eternal optimist. I think, you know, until it's mathematically impossible, he always tips them for promotion till the last minute, which I love. But it's very difficult to predict. But I think I'd be putting him in the region of certainly 3, 4, 6 points. I think, you know, there's a real feel-good factor, sort of rejuvenated sense about them at the moment. And I'm pretty positive going into him. So... yeah, let's see. But yeah, four points maybe.
There we go. Nice middle of the road prediction there from Stu. You'll be able to see obviously what becomes of that prediction next week when we'll return, because that's all we've got time for on this week's Sleeping Giants. We'll review both the Brentford and the Wolves games next week, hopefully with the improving Town picking up at least one win out of those two games. Thanks to Stuart, and thanks for listening.